Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
When 10-year-old Chris Carrier stepped off a school bus on a December morning in 1974, little did he know how his life was about to change. 6 days later, Chris was found some 75 miles from his home. He had been burned with cigarettes, stabbed with an ice pick, and then shot in the head. When his kidnapper and molester walked away from the little boy's body, he thought he was dead. But Chris recovered, and he gave police a description of the man who had molested him. Police were quite certain that they knew who the man was, the man who had committed the horrible crime, but there wasn't enough evidence to charge the man. For the next 3 years, Chris lived in constant torment and fear, thinking that since the man knew where he lived, he could come back and finish him off. He later described those horrible nights of fear, saying, "At night, if I heard the floorboard creak, I'd get up and sleep at the foot of my parents' bed. I was constantly afraid of what was around the corner." Then at the age of 13, Chris's life took an unforeseen turn. He became a Christian and slowly came to understand that God, not chance or even his abductor, was in control of his life. Did it make a difference? "From that time on," he said, "I started saying, 'It's time to get on with my life.'" He did too. After graduating from high school and college, he went to seminary to study for the ministry. For a number of years, he served as a youth pastor. He married and became the father of two children. And during those years, people would ask him, "If you met the man who kidnapped you, what would you do?" It was a hard question to answer. Then his phone rang. It was the police, the officer who had worked on the case now 22 years before. They had the man who had molested and kidnapped him. No, he wasn't in prison. He was in a care facility dying. And to clear his conscience, the man had confessed. Did Chris want to see the person? Yes, he did. Taking his pastor with him, Chris Carrier confronted the man who had caused the scars of his abuse, including living with blindness in one eye, the result of the gunshot wound to the head. Expectedly, the man was nervous. But Chris came back again and again. He brought his wife and children and developed a strange relationship, a friendship with the man. Most of all, Carrier wanted him to know not only that he had forgiven him, but that God would forgive him too. The day finally came when the old man prayed, asking God's forgiveness and healing. He died with a clear conscience. No wonder the media carried the story. In a cruel and vengeful world, an exhibition of forgiveness as this is not only unusual, but it mirrors the grace of him who hung on a cross and cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." No virtue better reflects the nature of the gospel than does forgiveness. Think about it. It's man's sinful nature that demands vengeance for wrongdoing. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Who would be surprised if a victim such as Chris should hurl angry words at his former kidnapper, telling him how his life had been destroyed by his lustful act? Instead, and these are Chris's actual words, "I tried to make sure he realized that my life has been extremely full and blessed. I told him how my relationship with the Lord has been my grace and stronghold." To demand vengeance is natural. To forgive, that's supernatural. That's what the grace of God is about, forgiveness for our failures, our shortcomings, our sins. David put it, "There is forgiveness with thee, that you may be feared."
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. For more practical and inspirational messages, visit guidelines.org. If you find our devotionals helpful and would like to share them with others, consider supporting our ministry with a donation. Again, that's guidelines.org. Thanks for listening to Guidelines for Living.